Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the podcast, it is Le'Veon Bell. Well, it was Le'Veon Bell contract day. I guess it still is for me. I'm recording this about 9 p.m., about 5 hours after Le'Veon Bell elected not to sign long-term with the Pittsburghs. It sounded like the deal maybe got a little bit closer, but they just ultimately could not get a deal done by 4 p.m., and so Le'Veon Bell will play 2018 under the franchise tag once again and will hit 2019 and be a free agent in all likelihood. The Steelers would have to apply the franchise tag again, and that franchise tag would have to be for top five money at the highest position, meaning that Le'Veon would be making quarterback money at that point, and of course that's not going to happen. So Le'Veon Bell likely to be a free agent in 2019 and thus likely has played or will have played his last game as a Steeler at the conclusion of the 2018 season. A lot to go over today. We're not going to do any news and notes. We're really going to spend the entire podcast breaking down this Le'Veon Bell situation. And I want to slice this conversation up in three different ways. First of all, we'll talk about what this means for the Steelers, for the immediate future of the team, the 2018 season. Then we'll talk about what this means going forward for the Pittsburgh Steelers, of course, 2019 and beyond without Le'Veon Bell. And then finally, I want to talk about what this means for Le'Veon Bell, the deal he turned down, the deal he wants, what it's going to look like for him in 2019. This may be the craziest instance of a player betting on himself that I have seen. We're going to go over all of that today. Before we get to that, let me tell you about the sponsor for today's podcast, Core Essentials. That's K-O-R-E, Core Essentials. They make the coolest belt I've ever seen, the best belt you will ever own. What makes Core track belts so awesome? There's no belt holes. No belt holes at all. Instead, their belts use a hidden track in the back of the belt with over 40 size points to choose from. So, you know, you might say, why do I need a belt without holes? Well, if you ever wonder throughout the day why your pants are slipping and turning that waistline into a gut, it's because every day as you work, as you walk, as you eat, as you play, as you do anything throughout the day, your waist size is fluctuating in and out just a little bit at a time. And the Core track belt adjusts to match your waist exactly. Each point on the Core track belt is just a quarter inch apart. And that simple, small innovation means that you get a precise, steady, comfortable fit every time you put it on. Removing or adjusting the track belt is super simple. You just pinch the small tab under the buckle. Their patented design also makes it easy to remove, so you can remove the buckle and swap styles out. The track belt also ships in a one size to fit every waist, from 24 to 44 inches. They have an XL belt that goes up to 54 inches, and you adjust the size yourself using their easy guide. Core offers a full line of fashion belts as well. So they have the classic double stitched with full grain leather. They have smooth belts with no stitching. They also have a gun belt for concealed carry. They offer a stylish assortment of buckle faces. So they've got ones made with solid stainless steel. They've got ones with high-grade zinc alloys. All of their belts carry a 30-day money-back guarantee and a full one-year warranty against all defects, unusual wear, or breakage. So you can feel confident that when you shop, you're going to know you're covered. And trust me, when you buy this belt, when you see this, when you put it on, you're going to know, you're going to love it. This is going to be the belt for you. You're going to want to replace all of your other belts. Visit coreessentials.com to learn more. You can get your own Core track belt to see firsthand why it is the best belt you will ever own. Seriously, once you get one of these things, I'm telling you, you're going to want to get rid of the rest of your belts and replace them with these Core track belts. We've got a special offer for our listeners today. You save 10% off your order when you use our code LOCKEDON at checkout. That's LOCKEDON, locked on at checkout. So it's Core with a K, coreessentials.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 10% off your order and we thank Core for sponsoring today's podcast. Let's start today's conversation about Le'Veon Bell with the 2018 season, the immediate future for what's going to happen between Le'Veon Bell and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And for those of us who were hoping that today would end the Le'Veon Bell drama, well, I've got some bad news for you. Today's is just the beginning of the next part of the Le'Veon Bell drama, which is the when will he show up segment of the show. Again, we're going to move into this kind of will Le'Veon Bell show up for training camp type of thing? No. Will he show up for any preseason games? No. Will he show up for week one? Yes. We're going to get into that silly season of, you know, will Le'Veon Bell hold out? How much will he hold out? Will he play any in training camp? Is he going to come back in shape? Yada, yada, yada. How's he going to look in the beginning of the season? All of that that we talked about last season comes up again this season when we start talking about Le'Veon Bell. Now, Le'Veon Bell had, I think his agent snuck something through to Adam Schefter today, probably as a negotiation tactic about midday today. But here's what Adam Schefter had to say on Sirius Radio. Quote, I think it's possible Le'Veon Bell sits out the first half of the year if he doesn't get a long-term deal. The goal at that point would be to hit 2019 free agency healthy and not rack up another 400 touches. Now, whether or not that's just Adam Schefter spitballing or he got something from Le'Veon Bell's agent who was trying to, put out a negotiation tactic publicly, within the Pittsburgh Steelers, who knows? But that's an interesting thing for Adam Schefter to say. The first half of it, where Le'Veon Bell's going to sit out half the year? No, come on. Le'Veon Bell's not sitting out the first half of 2018. And I'll tell you why. Because all of this contract negotiation has always been about one thing, money. Money, money, money. That's all it's been about, right? Le'Veon Bell has a certain dollar figure that he wants to make on an annual basis, and he's not budging off of that number, right? That's what we've seen from him this entire process. So now the idea is, now that he didn't get that number, he's going to now sit out and cost himself $7.25 million, cut his salary effectively in half for 2018? No. That makes no sense. And this idea that he wants to stay healthy and all of that, again, the idea that he can't get injured, only if he plays 16 games can he get injured, but he won't get injured in the second half. No, that's stupid too, right? That's not going to happen. It doesn't make any sense. He's not sitting out. The second point he makes, though, about not wanting to rack up 400 touches again. Now that is intriguing to me. Does Le'Veon in any way resent the amount of carries or touches he's been getting? Or is it just a new concern now that he knows he's going into free agency? Because Le'Veon Bell has been the most used running back in the NFL over the course of his career. In his second year in the league, he got 373 touches. In 2016, again, he sat out 2015 with injury. So 2016, 336 in the regular season in 12 games. Again, he was suspended for 4 games that year. But 336 touches that year, 405 when you consider playoff games. 2017, 406 in the regular season, 431. 400 is a bad number for running backs. It is usually a number by which you start taking multiple 400 carry seasons, more 400 touch seasons, and you start to degrade as a player, and it starts to happen rapidly. So does Le'Veon Bell feel like, these amount of 400 touch carries or 400 touch seasons, it could hurt me in 2019, again, as I if my yards per carry start going down or anything like that? I think that is a natural worry for him, given how much the Steelers have used him. And as we've talked about with his playing time, I don't think he's going to see far fewer touches. He might see fewer carries in 2018, but I don't know that he's going to be less of a focal point of the Steelers offense in 2018, especially considering that the Steelers no longer have to worry about his long-term health, right? I mean, not his health, but his long-term or his longevity in the league, right? The Steelers no longer have to worry about how many more years Le'Veon has left, because in their mind, it's one, right? They have to get a Super Bowl with Le'Veon this year, whatever it takes to get that Super Bowl this year, because he's gone after 2018. So the idea that he's not going to get 400 touches, he is. He's. I think it's very likely that he gets 400 touches at least, throughout the playoffs. So it's an interesting thing for Le'Veon to put out there. I don't think there's much he can do about it. Again, I don't think he's going to sit out
many games. I mean, maybe, you know, I guess maybe he sits out like one or two, but even then, he's costing himself $1 million a game pretty much any game he sits out. I don't see him doing that either. I think he shows up right before week one like he did last year, practices that week, plays in the game, tries to get himself back into football shape over the course of time, and then looks like Le'Veon again pretty early on in the season. Now, we talk about playing time for Le'Veon. The other interesting thing to talk about in 2018 is playing time for James Conner. James Conner now becomes the de facto starting running back in 2019. And so part of 2018 now is going to be figuring out whether or not James Conner is a starter-capable running back. They got to find out who is James Conner. Can he block? Can he catch out of the backfield? Can he do a lot of the intangible things that we didn't see him do in 2017? Just how much better will he be year over year? I don't know. I think the Steelers have to figure that out. They have to figure it out real quick, right? Because they're not going to have a ton of opportunity to do it during the regular season. Again, they don't like to take Le'Veon Bell off the field, and nor should they. He's such a great player in every position. Le'Veon is great on the goal line. He's great on third down. He's great on passing downs and running downs and every down in between, right? There's not a situation that you can put Le'Veon Bell in where he's not going to excel. You can line him up at wide receiver if you need to. You want to run five wide with a running back out there. Again, you can do all of that with Le'Veon Bell. So again, there's not a lot of situations where you feel like you have to take him off the field, except really to rest. So I don't know if James Conner is going to get a ton of looks in the regular season so we can find out what he is. So really, it's going to come down to training camp and preseason. Now, luckily for James Conner, Le'Veon Bell won't be there during training camp or preseason, so he'll get his fair share of carries there. I think what's actually going to happen is, because James Conner, I think, is going to see such a heavy workload throughout preseason, you're probably going to see the guys at the back half of the roster that we talked about at running back see less carries than they normally would because of this renewed, like, we have to find out just how good is James Conner. And really, the same can be said about Jalen Samuels. Jalen Samuels was drafted as a guy, oh, interesting, X-factor, can play here and there, gadget-type player. Now, all of a sudden, it's no longer, oh, yeah, you could be a gadget-type player, you know, down the line, that kind of thing. No. No, actually, I need to find out just how good you are, like, right now. Like, can you be more than an X-factor? Can you be a third-down back? Because in the modern NFL, right, teams without a Le'Veon Bell-type player are going with this kind of two-headed monster. You're every down back, and then your third down, kind of more versatile, can catch the ball in the backfield and is a dynamic runner. You know, think about what New Orleans is doing with Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara. Can Jalen Samuels be that guy? And how soon? The Steelers have to figure that out too, right? Do they have to go out in 2019 and find the next Le'Veon Bell, or can they make do with a two-headed backfield of James Conner and Jalen Samuels? Part of 2018 is going to be figuring that out as well. And then the final thing for 2018, the thing that's staring us all in the face now, this is the end of the Killer Bee era. The end of the Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell show. It was a good six-year run, but it ends in 2018. And the fact that it's ending now and ending, does it feel abrupt? I guess it is a little bit abrupt, right? Because it was showing so much promise. It actually makes the Jacksonville loss hurt worse, especially considering how good that team offensively looked a year ago. And so much of the Killer Bee era was marred by injury and certain players not being healthy at the right time, Le'Veon Bell being one of them, Antonio Brown at times, Ben Roethlisberger at times. The Killer Bee era early on was like, can we keep these three guys on the field? Can we keep them healthy? God, we would be so good. And then we did. We did in 2017. We finally got the offense rolling into the playoffs and playing at such a high level. And yet, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. And it makes that loss hurt even worse now, knowing that 2018 will be the last chance these players have to make their mark on the NFL, win a Super Bowl in this league. Someone on Twitter today said the Killer Bee era is going to go down as one of the biggest squanderings of offensive talent in NFL history. It's hard to argue against it, considering what they've done so far. The Killer Bee era in the playoffs has only played in four preseason games, and really only three postseason games, playoff games. They've really only played in three playoff games together. Remember, Le'Veon Bell was hurt in the entire run in 2015. 2016, he played against Miami and Kansas City, but he did not play against the New England Patriots. And so he played against Jacksonville. So three games of the Killer Bee era in the playoffs. And those games were win against Miami, win against Kansas City, and then loss against the Jacksonville Jaguars. They really haven't accomplished much at all, right? I mean, the AFC Championship game, Le'Veon didn't really play. I mean, he played like 4 or 5 carries. Then he was out of there. If this team doesn't win a Super Bowl, yeah, they go up maybe as the worst, as the biggest squandering. The teams to me that come to mind when I start thinking about the biggest squanderings of talent offensively, I mean, obviously the biggest one to me is the early 90s Bills. Andre Reed, Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas. I mean, that team was loaded. And not just loaded offensively. They were loaded defensively, actually, too. But offensively, they had, you know, they had their own trifecta of great players at their positions. And yes, they went to 4 Super Bowls in a row. So it's not like they didn't have any accomplishments. They just didn't win a championship. The other team that I'm reminded of is the mid-80s Dolphins. Dan Marino, Mark Clayton, Mark Duper. I mean, that was a very good team offensively. And yet, what do they have to show for it? Nothing, right? No championships. So what is the Killer Bee era going to have to show for it at the end of this 6-year run? What is this team going to have to show for it? How much of that, of the fact that this is coming to an end now? We talk about the Super Bowl era and the Super Bowl window and all of that. And it really ends when Ben Roethlisberger decides to hang him up. But 2018 is like the end of this other window, the Killer Bee window, right? The best chance we have is with Le'Veon Bell. And that ends now in 2018. How much does that hang over this team in 2018, this ticking clock that they have? How much does that weigh on the players throughout the season? Of course, they're going to think about that. Of course, they're going to know that this is it. We have Le'Veon Bell for this season, and then he's out. How much does that weigh on this team? How much of an extra burden is that on this football team in 2018? It'll be interesting to watch that throughout the year. And then let's talk about 2019 and beyond. How does this team go about replacing Le'Veon Bell at this point? First of all, I want to address this idea that running backs are a dime a dozen, and so we're going to replace Le'Veon Bell easily. I get the idea that running backs are a dime a dozen in the modern NFL, and you know, teams just kind of go in and out of young runners and that kind of thing. That is true for the majority of running backs, but not Le'Veon Bell. Not someone as special as Le'Veon Bell. As I talked about Le'Veon Bell earlier in this show, Le'Veon Bell is a special player because he is a good runner in every position. There is not a single position you can put him in as a runner, you know, whether it's on the goal line or on third and long or out wide or he needs to pick up this blitz or anything like that. He's good. He's great in all of those cases. The Steelers don't have to go with a two-headed monster at running back and have a specialty guy as your goal line guy or anything like that. In fact, when they did that with Terrell Watson a year ago, they got rid of it pretty quick and went right back to Le'Veon Bell because he's that good. There's no reason to take Le'Veon Bell off the field at times, only for rest, right? So when we talk about replacing Le'Veon Bell, you're talking about getting a player who can be as dynamic and dependable a runner, but also excellent in pass protection as a blocker, understanding blitz assignments, and a great receiver who is even better in the open field and making players miss. Let's not forget that there were times in Le'Veon Bell's career where he accounted for over 50% of the Steelers' offense. 50%+ of this offense. The majority of the offense flowed through Le'Veon Bell. That will not be easily replaceable. Can they replace Le'Veon Bell? Yes, of course. They can replace Le'Veon Bell. But they won't do so immediately. It's very, very unlikely. Even if they go out and get the top runner in the draft, the idea that he's going to come in and immediately be a Le'Veon Bell type player, it's a pipe dream. It's a pipe dream. The Steelers are, as I said, they're going to have to go with likely this two-headed monster of having a good, dependable runner and then someone else who can be a dependable guy on third down and this kind of two-headed monster and use guys that way. It's going to take multiple guys to replace Le'Veon Bell, and the burden there is you have to find multiple guys who are as good at the things that Le'Veon did, right? So you have to find a guy who's as good a blocker and as good a receiver and as good a runner in order to try and replace the things that Le'Veon brought to this offense. It's not going to be an easy task. So, yeah, the first place the Steelers are going to look is in the draft, right? That's obvious. And so now running back becomes a priority in the 2019 draft. And the Steelers don't have the luxury in 2019 of drafting a guy in the second or third round who's a top guy in the draft, right? We're no longer in the era where running backs don't get picked in the first round, like they were when Le'Veon Bell got picked. We're in an era now where guys are going in the top five, running backs are going in the top five year after year, whether it's Saquon Barkley, Leonard Fournette, Ezekiel Elliott, right? These guys are year after year going in the top five. So the Steelers aren't just going to get their pick of the guy, of whoever they want, in the middle of the second round like they did back in back when Le'Veon got selected. So get ready. When we start talking about the draft in 2019, you're going to hear about Bryce Love. You're going to hear about Damian Harris from Alabama and Mike Weber from Ohio State and Justice Hill from Oklahoma State. We're going to be talking about all those guys as potential replacements for Le'Veon Bell. The problem is the Steelers still have plenty of holes to fill defensively. And really what this shines a light on now, this all of a sudden running back becoming this immediate priority, is it shines a light on all of the things the Steelers didn't do this offseason to address some of their deficiencies defensively, specifically inside linebacker. Again, we're talking about going into 2018 with Matakevich or Bostic and Vince Williams, players who the Steelers could certainly use an upgrade over. And we knew that going into this season. And they, they tried but could not upgrade that position. And so it will be as big a priority in 2019 to find a great inside linebacker in the draft a year from now. It will also be a big priority to find an edge rusher, which they did not do in the 2018 offseason. And so all of their hopes are now riding on the idea that Bud Dupree or TJ Watt are really going to blossom into a dominant pass rusher, specifically the hopes are on Bud Dupree. And then even cornerback. And I know I talked about cornerback as being this, being excited about the position in 2018. But if I'm wrong, and Artie Burns doesn't get a lot better, and Cam Sutton isn't able to take over for Artie Burns in any meaningful way, you got an issue on one side. And on the other side, you've got Joe Hayden's contract situation. He's going to be making $11 million in 2019. He could very easily have to be a cap casualty at that number if he's not willing to take a cut or extend that out and for a couple years and take a cut in the immediate. He could be a cap casualty, and you're looking at a cornerback position that, again, has to be addressed. There's so many places on that defense that the Steelers could use fixing that, again, can we afford for running back to become this priority? Or what's going to be, what are we going to overlook again in this offseason? Every year it's been defense, defense, defense. 2019, I don't know that the Steelers are going to have the luxury to take a bunch of defensive players in that draft, knowing that not only are they going to have to take a running back in the draft, but wide receiver may be another priority as well, considering we're going to have Juju, James Washington, and Antonio Brown, but really no one behind them under contract at this point. So the Steelers may feel like they have to go wide receiver again later in the draft. So, the draft in 2019 is going to be an interesting one, but being that we have to take a running back now, it's going to lead to a lot of people upset about where the Steelers, what defensive players the Steelers pass up in that draft. Now, the one thing you may be saying to yourself is, hold on, Tony, the Steelers are going to have some cap space now in 2019. The Steelers will free up that $14.5 million in cap space that Le'Veon Bell is holding on to currently. That is true. The Steelers will have $14.5 million extra to play with in 2019 now that Le'Veon Bell has not signed this deal. The $14.5 million cap hold that Le'Veon has this year will go away. But before you get excited and start dreaming up all these players that the Steelers can sign with that money, let's remember, the Steelers don't make big splashes in free agency. The Steelers' big, quote-unquote, big splashes in free agency of recent times has been what? Mike Mitchell, Ladarius Green, Morgan Burnett, John Bostic, right? I mean, we just don't go out there and get Justin Hunter. We don't go out there and get the big names, right? And the one exception, I guess, would be Joe Hayden, after Joe Hayden was cut by the Cleveland Browns. That was a rare moment of the Steelers really going out there and signing Joe Hayden to a big contract. That's the one exception. And again, that happened very late in the process, very late in preseason even. I saw the memes today about the Steelers signing David Johnson in 2019, now that they have this extra money, and all the memes about, we're going to replace one of the best running backs with another one of the best running backs. And that's cute, and that's funny, but don't count on it. Don't count on the Steelers signing David Johnson in 2019. It's not going to happen. It's much more likely that money is going to be used to re-sign, whether it's Bud Dupree, especially if he has a big year, right? That money's going to go to be re-signing Bud Dupree then, if he has 12, 13, 14 sacks in 2018, because he'll be playing on a contract year the year following. Joe Hayden, as we talked about, maybe he's not a cap casualty, but you're going to have to extend him to kind of alleviate some of that cap room. So, some of that cap money will go there. Marquise Pouncey will be playing in a contract year. Same can be said for Marcus Gilbert, Artie Burns, Sean Davis, Javon Hargrave, right? All of these players will need new contracts if the Steelers are willing to offer them. And so likely Le'Veon's money is going to go to those guys. And I know, you're all groaning about, oh God, we have to another 3 years of these guys. But, that to me is the most realistic possibility of what happens with Le'Veon's money, is that it is used to sign whatever one of those young guys were to break out, or to extend Marquise Pouncey, extend Marcus Gilbert, extend Joe Hayden. I don't see the Steelers going out and making a big splash in free agency. And the other guy we should talk about who needs a contract extension is, of course, Ben Roethlisberger, who wants to play. If he really does want to play 5 more years, well then the Steelers need to look into his contract situation as well. The Steelers will get a third-round pick for Le'Veon Bell. So the supplemental pick process works like this. If you lose a player, you will get a third-round pick if they are thought of as like a top player at their position. You'll get a third-round pick for that guy, unless you go out and sign an equivalent free agent to kind of replace them, right? So if the Steelers were to go out and were to sign David Johnson in 2019, well then they wouldn't get the third-round pick. Now, again, as I said, it's unlikely that they'll do that. So likely the Steelers will get a third-round pick from the NFL for losing Le'Veon Bell next year. But they won't get that pick until 2020. So we'll have a 2020 third-round pick for losing Le'Veon Bell. And then finally, let's talk about Le'Veon Bell's future. Because I really want to talk about the contract that he passed up, the contract that he's looking for, what the Steelers' offer was, and really, ultimately, the bet that Le'Veon Bell is making on himself. Because I think it's crazy. I think it's awesome of Le'Veon. I think it's ballsy. Something I couldn't do. But let's go over it. According to NFL Network's Ian Rapoport, who probably got this from the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are trying to leak their best deal in an effort to save face in this whole thing. They want to leak their best offer and say, oh, can you believe he passed this up? That kind of thing. But again, here's the contract terms that Ian Rapoport is reporting. And he says this is the last contract offer the Steelers gave to Le'Veon Bell. They gave it to him early this morning. He rejected it, and that's when both sides knew this is probably not getting done. The Steelers offered a 5-year, $70 million contract. For those of you who are bad at math like me, don't worry. I got the calculator. I did the math. That's $14 million per season. That works out to just under what Adrian Peterson got in 2011, which was $14.2 million a season. And it's just about $500,000 less than what the minimum Le'Veon said he would accept, which was $14.5 million. So they got close. They got close on the yearly amount that they wanted. And I know what you're thinking, well, yearly amounts don't matter because it's not like the NBA. These aren't guaranteed contracts. The only thing that matters is how much of that contract was in guaranteed money. And according to Ian Rapoport, the guaranteed money in that contract was $33 million. $33 million guaranteed. That works out to about 47% of the money guaranteed in the contract. That's a big number. That's a big number. To give you some perspective on that number, LeSean McCoy, the third highest paid running back in the NFL right now behind Le'Veon Bell and Devonta Freeman, got 45% of his signing of his money guaranteed. And Devonta Freeman, the highest paid running back in the NFL outside of Le'Veon Bell, it got 44% of his contract as a guaranteed. So Le'Veon Bell, again, getting 47% in his final offer. it is certainly a premium over what those other guys got, but maybe not the number that Le'Veon Bell was looking for. He was probably looking for something like 50% of the money guaranteed, or 55%, something like that. What you have to remember about the Pittsburgh Steelers is that they don't give the kind of guaranteed money that the rest of the league does, right? Go back to the wide receivers, right? And go back and look at what Antonio Brown makes. He makes $17 million per season. That's the most of any player in the NFL at wide receiver. But his guaranteed money was only 28%, right around there. So again, you look at other players at wide receiver. Mike Evans, 46% of his money was guaranteed. DeAndre Hopkins, 45%. Sammy Watkins, 62%, right? You know, other players at wide receiver are making significantly more money guaranteed. The Steelers don't pay that kind of guaranteed. So if you want to sign with the Steelers, you got to take the discount. The discount, generally speaking, comes in the amount of guaranteed money. Now, with the Le'Veon Bell situation, the Steelers went the other route. Now, again, they offered him a better contract, guaranteed-wise, than what Devonta Freeman got, than what LeSean McCoy got. So, again, probably not what Le'Veon wanted, but it wasn't like the Antonio Brown deal where a lot of that money was in the base salary. Again, though, we go back to that Adrian Peterson deal. That deal happened in 2011. That deal happened 7 years ago. And part of what Le'Veon Bell wanted to do here was to reset the market. And I think resetting the market to him meant equaling that Adrian Peterson deal on a yearly basis, $14.2 million. They didn't get there, right? The Steelers got to reportedly $14 million. You have to wonder, maybe if they had gotten to $14.2 and if he would have made the same kind of money Adrian Peterson does that make a difference? I don't know. Here's what Le'Veon Bell's agent had to say. It sounded like, from what the agent said, the two sides actually weren't that close. Quote, his intention was to retire a Steeler, but now that there's no deal, the practical reality is this now likely will be Le'Veon's last year as a Steeler. It became clear the Steelers wanted to pay the position, not the player. Now that last line really gets me. It became clear the Steelers wanted to pay the position, not the player. How in the world is 5 years, $70 million paying the position? The position right now is paying 8.25 to its highest paid player. And I know you'll say, oh, but Tony, Ezekiel Elliott still has, you know, he's still going to get a deal. Todd Gurley, David Johnson, right? There's so many good running backs that are coming up. They're gonna get bigger deals than 8.2. Fine. Yes, they probably will. But the Steelers can't negotiate against a hypothetical contract that Ezekiel Elliott might get 2 years from now, or that David Johnson might get a year from now, or Todd Gurley might get a year from now, right? They can't do that. They have to negotiate with what players are actually being paid today. And today, the highest paid running back outside of Le'Veon Bell is Devonta Freeman, who's making $8.25 million. So for Le'Veon's agent to come out and say they wanted to pay the position, not the player, again, it just has no basis in reality. The Steelers offered him, reportedly, $14 million a season. That's $6 million more than Devonta Freeman was making. To put that into perspective, let's put it this way. You could, for the $14 million a year that the Steelers were offering Devonta Freeman, they could have paid for Devonta Freeman as their starting running back, and then had Lamar Miller backing him up, potentially have Duke Johnson backing him up, Giovanni Bernard backing him up, Carlos Hyde backing him up, Deion Lewis backing up, Marshawn Lynch, James White, Mark Ingram, all of these players make less than $6 million a year, or make $6 or less million a year. All of those players, those are all starters I talked about. All of those players could back up Devonta Freeman on a team that was paying their running backs $14 million a year. That's what the Steelers were offering as a premium above Devonta Freeman, above the highest paid running back right now. I don't understand that they wanted to pay the position, not the player. I mean, again, maybe Le'Veon's trying to save face, the agent's trying to save face, whatever it is. Again, it just doesn't have any basis in reality. The running back position right now is being severely underpaid, but it's also undervalued as a position on NFL rosters. Saquon Barkley right now, who has not played a down in the NFL, is likely to be about the fourth highest paid runner in the league, making about $8 million a year, right? 7.8, right around there. The fourth highest paid running back in the league will be a rookie who has never played a snap. That's where the running back position is today. So the Steelers offered an extreme premium. And, you know, Le'Veon turned it down. And that's what I want to talk about. This is a crazy bet on yourself moment. It's so ballsy of Le'Veon Bell. I love it. I love that he did it. I respect the hell out of him for doing this. The calculus that he has put together in his head is that, no, I can withstand another 400 carries on the Steelers. I can play just as well as I've played any other year of my career. I will come out of this year healthy, and I will go out and I will make $15, $16, $17 million from some other team next season with far more guaranteed. $50 million guaranteed, $55 million of it guaranteed, right? That's what he's putting. That's what he's saying in his mind. That is the deal that he's looking for when he goes to the open market. Will he get there? Look, here's what I'll say about running backs in the modern NFL and the reason why they're so undervalued in the modern NFL. When a running back falls off, it's not like a gradual year over year. Oh, I was averaging 4.5 yards a carry, and then I went down to like 4.2, and then it was 4, and then it was like 3.8 and 3.7. And no, it's I was averaging 4.5 a year, and now I'm averaging 3.5 a year, and I'm done. It's over. I lost a step, and it is over and done with. And you look at how careers at running back end in this league, they are sudden at the running back position. Go back and look at how LaDainian Tomlinson's career ended, how Jamal Lewis's career ended, how Sean Alexander's career ended, how a lot of these guys who were featured backs in their offense, who got a majority of the carries in their offense, and look at how their careers ended. It was sudden. It just happens overnight. You can't predict it. LaDainian Tomlinson was wrecking the league year after year after year after year, and then it stopped, and he was done, and he never came back, and he was never the same player, and it was over for him. I'm not saying that that's going to happen to Le'Veon Bell, but I'm saying that very easily could happen to Le'Veon Bell, especially considering how much wear and tear he's put on his body over the years. And if it does happen, there's no money, right? There's no money coming in 2019 for Le'Veon Bell, who's coming off of a year where he looks like he's lost a step and he's not the same player he was, right? He's not getting he's not getting a 5-year, $70 million deal if he loses it in 2018. Now, in all likelihood, he comes out of this season and he's healthy. And so he'll get his $15 million a season from someone else, or 16, or whatever it's going to be. You know, the Browns, Raiders, Texans, Jets, Niners, they all have the cap space. They'll all be more than happy to pay and overpay for Le'Veon Bell. But is that going to be worth it? Is that worth the risk? Is making $15 million a year over $14 million a year, is that worth the risk? Is making 7% more guaranteed? Is that worth the risk at the running back position? Because again, you don't get a second chance at running back. When it's over, it's over. There's no career resurrections at the running back position. And the other thing I'll say about Le'Veon Bell's the bet that he's making, or this the idea that he has this number in his head and he's not going underneath that number. You know, the Steelers have been to the playoffs every year of Le'Veon Bell's career, except his rookie year. How many other teams can say that? And how many of those teams that we mentioned that will have the cap space to sign Le'Veon Bell can say that? So turning down $14 million a year with $33 million guaranteed, right, to go to a team who, you know, will they be in the playoffs? Will they be as much a contender as the Steelers have been or would have been had he signed that contract? I don't know. How much is that? How much does Le'Veon put that as a worth on the deal, right? That the Steelers are perennial contenders, that he has had a chance to play in the playoffs for 4 out of the 5 years that he's been a member of this team so far. How much of that did he factor into this negotiation? I don't know, right? We won't know. Maybe next year he goes to like New England and it won't matter because he'll be going to the playoffs every year anyway. But it's an interesting thing because, you know, a lot of the time we see these former Steelers, they leave the team, they go somewhere else because the Steelers aren't going to pay them what they're worth. And they find out the grass isn't always greener on the other side, right? It's not always like, you know, you're not always in the best situation anymore. You're not always contending for a title. You're not in the same kind of organization as the Steelers have. And so how much of that did Le'Veon factor into this negotiation? We will never know. We will never know. But it is certainly, as I said, it is the craziest player bets on himself moment I remember in all of sports. I can't think of a basketball player, a baseball player, a college athlete, anyone who has done this level of betting on himself. Running back in this league is such a devalued position at this point. And for Le'Veon to turn that contract down, which I feel like is pretty close to what he would get on the fair market, it's crazy to me. I respect him. I respect the hell out of him for doing it, though. I really do. And I wish him the best in his career beyond Pittsburgh because hopefully he goes and wherever he goes, he gets his money and he can be a contender and turn around a franchise, whether it be the Niners or Jets or Raiders, wherever he goes. I do wish him the best of luck. I think we're going to have a lot more to talk about when it comes to the Le'Veon Bell situation over time. I don't think today will be the last time we talk about Le'Veon Bell. But if you guys have any feedback, if you want to talk about any other things about Le'Veon Bell, what do you guys think about the contract that was offered to Le'Veon Bell? Should he have signed it? Is he going to find a better deal next season? Were the Steelers crazy for even offering that amount of money to Le'Veon Bell? I think it's more than a lot of us even expected the Steelers to offer. Let me know. SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can find me on Twitter @SteelerCountry. And we'll be back tomorrow right here on Locked On Steelers to talk about the safeties and special teams. We don't forget about special teams here on Locked On Steelers, and we're going to talk about that tomorrow right here on Locked On Steelers.